Hello, everyone. This is Tom Skeen, the pastor of Liberty City Methodist Church, and I want to share with you a message today entitled Raised from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. And this is a message that I shared on Easter Sunday, but I just wanted to say that, you know, this is something that we always have. Easter is always ours as Christians. Every day is Easter. Every day is Christmas, because Christ came, Christ died on the cross, and Christ rose from the dead, and Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. And someday he's going to come get us. We're looking forward to that day. Anyway, we're talking specifically today about Easter Sunday. And as I think of Easter, I can't help but think that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I have tomorrow. And nothing can take that away. We are so very blessed to have this assurance and this scripture, which is one of many proofs of the fact Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus proved himself alive. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. God's word says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for your holy word and this word especially. This word that reports the fact that Jesus has raised from the dead, and that because he lives, we live. Thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace. Now open our hearts and minds to your word and your scripture and your love and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to prove to you today that Jesus is alive. Sounds like a tall task, doesn't it? But to be honest with you, it's a lot easier than you might believe. So the first proof is Jesus proved himself alive by not being dead. And I know that sounds kind of funny to say it, but And I'm not being irreverent, but the tomb was empty and the signs left behind were of someone taking off their grave clothes, their own grave clothes. A tad unusual, to say the least. But you know, if you aren't dead, the only other option is being alive, right? There's not like degrees of this. You know, you can't be part alive. It's like being part pregnant. It just doesn't work that way. The second proof is Jesus proved himself alive by showing up to at least 500 different people. Now, this is a point that was referred to by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And seeing as Jesus is known to have at least 120 followers at the time of the crucifixion, and the fact of the matter is, thousands of people followed him at different points in his ministry. You know, it doesn't seem unreasonable to say that he showed himself to that many people. You know, especially when news got around that he's alive. So this point that he showed himself to many different people, at least 500 different people, is more important than you might think, and here's why. So imagine, if you will, a conversation by somebody that saw Jesus alive after the resurrection to a friend that hadn't. And here's how that might have gone. "Daniel, hey, dude, listen, I saw Jesus. No, really, I did. And he's alive. I know, that's wild, that's crazy. That's the most unheard of thing I'd ever heard of. But and I know, we saw him die on the cross. I know, we saw them carry his body off, but I am telling you, I saw Jesus. And he was alive. He wasn't a ghost. He ate some bread and fish. Jesus cooked us breakfast. Ghosts don't do that. And you know, I saw the scars in his hands and his feet where the nails had been. And I touched his hands, and I felt that. And I felt that he was a real live person." See, this is the type of witness that those 500 people had. The power of that testimony by that many people who testified to Jesus being alive after he died is impossible to fake. I mean, come on. Acts 10, 39-42 records another witness encounter. One where Peter shared his eyewitness account to Cornelius. It says, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." The third proof is Jesus proved himself alive by when he was resurrected. He pointed out the scriptures which prophesied his return. Now, remember in our scripture from the Gospel of John, in verse 9, I think it was, It says that they had not already seen from the scripture that that Jesus had to rise from the dead, or they didn't understand still from the scripture. So this is where that came into play. So he showed them the scriptures which prophesied his return. Remember in Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. He walked with those travelers, and he explained to them from the law and the prophets how it all worked. That reminds me of John 3 when he was having that meeting with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was, you know, the teacher of the law, and Jesus is like, "Dude, you're the teacher of the law, and you don't understand this? You don't get this? How can that be?" So he had to explain this to them. And when they got it, when they understood it, you know, it was like scales fell away and they saw Jesus. They saw him for who he was. I think they also saw his word for what it is and what it meant and what it prophesied. Hosea 6:2 says, "On the third day he will raise us up." Leviticus 23:11-12 talk about the morrow after the Sabbath. And then Acts 10:43-44 picks up Peter's testimony, which says, "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. This proves God was in it and did it. The Got Questions Biblical Answers website talks about how at least 300 prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' earthly ministry. And one of my favorites is from Psalm 16, verse 9 through 11, which talks about his resurrection. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So who is it that makes known to us the path of life? Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He fills us joy with his presence. He was the only human to walk this earth that was 100% faithful to God the Father. The faithful one, Jesus, the Messiah. Now, Jesus was dead long enough to be sincerely dead. But he wasn't dead long enough to see decay. He was dead 3 days. And then he was raised from the dead. But the best proof is about Jesus being alive is Jesus proves himself alive by coming into our hearts and minds. Has that happened for you? If not, the Holy Spirit is pulling, calling, and wooing you to God. It may not be an overt thing, and in fact, I'd be really surprised if it was. Instead, that voice is a faint whisper, a gentle nudging or tugging. You might think it's just a feeling or hunch that there's something more to this Jesus. Well, that is grace. That's God's grace urging you to have life in him. When I say life, I mean living forever in heaven in the very real presence of God, but also the very best real life now. I call this living in abundance. But this has nothing to do with materialism, and this sure is not prosperity gospel. Your physical circumstances in life may not change one little bit. They may even get worse. Our bodies will decay and die. But instead, abundant living is having the presence of God with you in all situations and circumstances. For the simple fact that God will be with you through all things. Paul shared how this worked for him in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The scriptures, one of so many in the Bible, that when you get it, when the Holy Spirit reveals the power of this testimony, your life will never be the same. How do I know? Because it changed my life. Because he lives in me. It gives me the strength for this life. And I have abundance. I know Jesus is alive. Because he has personally walked with me through some awful stuff. Is celebrated with me during wonderful days. God yawned with me during the ho-hum boring days. Have you discovered Jesus is raised from the dead for yourself? Has Jesus proved himself alive to you? the contemporary Christian song Untitled Hymn / Cry to Jesus by Chris Rice says in part, "Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away. Precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live." Why is it so important that I prove Jesus is alive? Because he lives, and because those who believe in him will never die. Someone might say, Tom, who are you to prove Jesus lives? I'm a nobody. But I know a somebody. That somebody died for me so I can live forever with him. He will do that for you too. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What about you? Can you prove Jesus lives? Maybe a better question would be, will you prove Jesus lives for the same reason I do? Christ is risen. Come to Jesus and live with him. Let us pray. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus and live. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you have a tomorrow. Thank you, God, so much for these promises that you will surely keep, because you surely love us. Because if you would send your son to die on the cross, and you did, and raise him from the dead to give us everlasting life, you will do all things for those who love you. And Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, our risen Savior's name, amen.